Welcome. I'd like to welcome everyone to this evening's City Council meeting for Monday, April 23rd, Mesa City Council. I'm Mayor Scott Smith, and as always, it is an honor and a privilege for me to serve and to conduct this meeting this evening. We'll begin tonight's meeting. Well, first of all, is Councilmember Higgins, are you on the phone?
Yes, Mayor, I'm here.
Okay, thank you. We have Councilmember Dina Higgins on the phone, and everyone else is here in person. We'll begin with an invocation by Reverend Scott Jones from St. Mark's Episcopal Church. We'll follow that with the Pledge of Allegiance, which will be led by Scout Ethan Johnson from Troop 772. Please rise for the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Almighty God, send down upon those who hold office in this city of Mesa the spirit of wisdom, charity, and justice, that with steadfast purpose they may faithfully serve in their offices to promote the well-being of all people through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Please be seated. We'd also like to recognize Mayor John Lewis from Town of Gilbert. Mayor Lewis, thanks for being here with us. He has a short little presentation, as soon as I can find the paper, later in the meeting. Thank you. One of the great privileges I have had is to get to know and to work very closely with Mayor John Lewis of Gilbert. And Mayor, these people all showed up just for you. They're not even laughing about that. So, and Mayor Lewis is truly, as we have worked hard to advance what we call regional issues, but really they're common issues and issues that benefit our community as well as our neighboring communities, because the Southeast Valley has truly morphed into a combination of very, very important and individual yet combined, not combined, but communities that have common interests. Mayor Lewis has been a proponent for that and has worked very closely with us as we strive to really elevate our communities individually in the region as a whole. So Mayor Lewis would like to talk to us about a recent thing that we worked together on, and he wanted to come and address the council. So thank you.
Mayor and council, it's a pleasure to be here. As Mayor Smith said, we find from Mesa some of the finest regional leadership, and it was exemplified even a month ago. There was an East Valley Healthcare Summit that was held with an emphasis on welcoming MD Anderson to the Valley. They have a new CEO. He was in town. And at this summit, resources from the city of Mesa provided all of the videotaping, which allowed us, because the environment we were in only allowed for 75 people to attend and for others that wanted to participate in the summit, it was videotaped. Because of expertise of many, and there are three individuals that I wish tonight, and I think they may be here. If they are, they could come down. I could give them a quick handshake. If not, this can be delivered to them later. Stephen Wright, who's the Public Information and Communication Director. Glenn Stevens, who is the Channel 11 Station Program Director. And Lily King Cisneros, who is the video producer. Glenn.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Steve, thank you. And I will give you Lily's. Mayor Smith, as you know, there are some of the finest eating establishments in Mesa. I cannot believe that Gilbert staff put in a certificate to eat somewhere in Gilbert, but
Mayor Lewis, I have to admit some. I didn't get this way by avoiding all eating establishments in Gilbert. So
you have been a great leader, and as you've said, mayors sometimes and councils are concerned with those boundaries, but outside of that, it's the services that count, and so thank you for the leadership, and especially to these three. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and it was a great summit. highlighting what is truly a regional asset in both Banner Gateway and MD Anderson. And to show you how closely we need to work, Banner has about 120 acres in their total campus there at Higley and the freeway. 80 of those acres are in Gilbert, and about 60, I think, are in Mesa. So even their campus is split between the two cities. And Mayor Lewis has been a real leader in recognizing the importance of working together to make sure that we build not only a better Mesa, but a better Gilbert and a better Southeast Valley. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, let's give a round of applause to you. And Mayor Lewis just announced, I think I heard, that you're seeking a second term. So congratulations. So to all those Gilbert citizens who aren't, I can't say that, right? Now Donna DeFrancesco, who's our conservation specialist of the Environmental and Sustainability Division. Donna has a special presentation related to a big event.
Yes, a very exciting event. Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. I want to help us welcome, we have Troop 2468, Lynn Honeycutt and Melissa are here with their Girl Scouts who are going to help us read our Arbor Day proclamation. We'll be celebrating Arbor Day on Friday the 27th. We'll be doing tree plantings at 10 a.m. So I encourage people to come to our website, maysaz.gov, and they can learn more about that. And we'll have one at Palo Verde Park and one over at Falcon Hill Park. So if we'll bring them up and we'll have them help you read the proclamation, Mayor. Does that sound good?
You go in there. You want to? Yeah, come right out front there.
All right. So I think I have, do we still have, why don't you come up and tell us the girls' names as they come up? Can you do that?
Yes.
Okay. Because I don't know if I have them in the right order.
You should have brought the cookies.
You can still use this one.
Would have been a good idea.
First we have Hannah.
Whereas Mesa is a city that provides services and programs to enrich our quality of life and maximize the resources available to benefit the community, and
Isabella.
Whereas planting trees renews our resources by providing economical and ecological contributions to our urban forestry, such as providing oxygen, reducing greenhouse gases, and supplying food and shelter to wildlife, and
Madeline.
Whereas trees are not only vital resources, but environmental workers that purify the water and air, reduce erosion of our soils, and provide shade and wind barriers that conserve energy, and
Kayla.
Whereas trees in our city increase property values, buffer traffic noises, enhance the economic vitality of our business areas, and create beautiful landscapes in our parks in right of ways to make our community even more livable, and
whereas Mesa continues to grow and planting trees is a means of preserving and enhancing the natural beauty Mesa holds, and
whereas citizens are assured that these trees are protected and will receive the proper maintenance in the years ahead, and
whereas we gratefully acknowledge the vision of leaders past who gave us the gift of the trees that we enjoy today,
and Sarah.
Whereas programs like the Tree City USA and Arbor Day are opportunities for us to plant and maintain trees for the future, and encourage all of our citizens to participate in the celebration of this occasion and realize its importance.
Now, therefore, I, Scott Smith, by virtue of the authority vested in me as Mayor of Mesa, Arizona, do hereby proclaim April 27, 2012 as Arbor Day. Ladies, thank you so very much. Thank you. We really appreciate that. We'll now proceed with the mayor's welcome. Oh, we already did the mayor's welcome with the consent agenda. I'm all confused. The Girl Scouts did it to me. I was just thinking of Thin Mints. I couldn't get my mind on anything.
They could have made a fortune today.
Kevin Christopher, you look like a giant Thin Mint to me in front of there.
Really? I'll take that as a compliment. Well, now, the word thin.
Well, all citizens proceed with the consent agenda.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you are interested in speaking, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you'll be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items in the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion unless a council member or a citizen request, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on liquor license for American Legion, Luke Greenway Post No. 1, one-day charitable event, April 28th, 4155 East Virginia Street. Item 3B, act on liquor license for Desert Eagle Brewing Company, 150 West Main Street. Item 3C, act on liquor license for Z Convenience, 2114 West Main Street. Item 3D, act on liquor license for House Modern Sushi Restaurant, 1641 South Stapley Drive. Item 3E, act on liquor license for Il Forno, 6600 East McKellops. Item 3F, act on liquor license for The Magic Pan, 4210 East Main Street. Item 4A, act on renewed term contract for paint and sundry supplies for warehouse inventory. Item 4B, act on term contract for rock and concrete materials for various city departments. Item 4C, act on contract to replace carpet in the Mesa City Plaza building. Item 4D, act on contract to purchase two replacement heavy-duty utility vehicles for the Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Department. Item 4E, act on term contract to replace heavy-duty appliances for the fire department. Item 4F, act to renew term contract for training and duty ammunition for the police department. Item 4G, act on contract to purchase replacement genetic analyzer for the police department forensics unit, funding from a grant by the Arizona Criminal Justice Commission. Item 4H, act to authorize the mayor to sign an employment contract with the city clerk. Item 4I, act to authorize the mayor to sign an employment contract with the city auditor. Item 4J, act on term contract for electric motors, purchases, and repairs, rewinds for the water resources department. Item 4K, act on contract for wastewater line video inspection. Item 4L, act on contract for Brown Road Water Treatment Security Wall, 7750 East Brown Road. Project is funded from the fiscal year 11-12 Water Bond Program. Item 4M, act on contract for ITS traffic signal conversions, Phase 5 in Districts 1, 2, and 5. Projects funded from the Federal Highway Administration under the Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Improvement Program. The city shares available from the fiscal year 11-12 Streets Bond Capital Program. Item 4N, act on contract for Consolidated Canal Multi-Use Path Phase 3, Lindsay Road to Baseline Road. Projects fully funded by a federal grant from the Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Improvement Program. Item 4O, act on contract for roadway and utility improvements at Elliott Road and Signal Butte Road. Funding is available in the fiscal year 11-12 Street and Water Bond Capital Programs and a grant from the Maricopa County Department of Transportation. Item 5A, act on resolution supporting the submittal of a grant application by the Junior Achievement of Arizona to the Fort McDowell Yavapai Nation for their business education program in Mesa Schools. Item 5B, act on resolution supporting the submittal of a grant application by Mesa Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities to the Fort McDowell Yavapai Nation for construction and installation of a disc golf course within Red Mountain Park. Item 5C, act on resolution supporting the submittal of a grant application by Arizonans for Children Incorporated to the Fort McDowell Yavapai Nation for their Foster Youth Assistance Center in Mesa. Item 5D, act on resolution supporting the submittal of a grant application by the Mesa Public Schools Native American Education Program to the Fort McDowell Yavapai Nation for Fremont Junior High and Red Mountain High School's Native American Tutoring and Enrichment Programs. Item 5E, act on resolution supporting the submittal of a grant application by the Mesa Convention and Visitors Bureau to the Fort McDowell Yavapai Nation for tourism promotion efforts around Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport. Item 5F, act on resolution supporting the submittal of a grant application by the Child Crisis Center to the Fort McDowell Yavapai Nation for Proposition 200 funding, which will provide trauma and attachment services for families caring for children with issues relating to trauma. Item 5G, act on resolution authorizing city manager to execute an intergovernmental agreement with the Fort McDowell Yavapai Nation Fire Department for vehicle apparatus maintenance and repair services to be performed by the Mesa Fire Department Maintenance Division. Item 5H, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to execute an intergovernmental agreement with the Rio Verde Fire Department for vehicle apparatus maintenance and repair services to be performed by the Mesa Fire Department Maintenance Division. Item 5I, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to execute an intergovernmental agreement with Maricopa County on behalf of the Maricopa County Department of Transportation for the cost sharing of certain roadway improvements on Elliott Road west of Signal Butte Road. The county will reimburse the city of Mesa for these improvements. Item 5J, act on resolution authorizing and directing that public utility easements in, over, under, and across certain real property be acquired by the city of Mesa under the power of eminent domain as a matter of public necessity relating to certain existing city of Mesa water lines in the vicinity of 2222 East Lehigh Road. Item 5K, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to use the street assessment statute law to install roadway improvements along Elliott Road from Signal Butte Road to the west for 1,600 feet. This assessment law allows the city to collect these costs as part of the development requirement if the property develops in the next 10 years. Item 5L, act on resolution calling the primary election for August 28, 2012. Item 5M, act on resolution setting May 21, 2012 as a public hearing date for the review and approval of the proposed fiscal year 12-13 annual assessments for the Mesa Town Center Improvement District Number 228. The proposed final assessments do not include any rate increases. Item 6A, introduction of ordinance repealing the existing personnel rules applicable to City of Mesa employees and adopting new personnel rules. Item 6B, introduction of ordinance repealing the existing and adopting a new Mesa City Code, Title I, Chapter 21, relating to the procurement of materials, non-professional contract services, and capital improvements to take effect on September 1st, 2012. Item 6C, introduction of ordinance establishing the number of signatures required for the Mesa District Council candidate nomination petitions to be 250 signatures or 5% of the vote, whichever is less, for the district council member in the last preceding district election. Item 7A, act on ordinance regarding Z-12-12-2254 West Main Street, located west of Dobson Road on the north side of Main Street. This is for a rezone and site plan review to allow the development of a mixed-use apartment complex with first-floor commercial space. Item 8A, act on ordinance establishing the number of signatures required for the Mesa mayoral candidate nomination petitions to be 1,000 signatures or 5% of the vote, whichever is less, for mayor in the last preceding mayoral election. This ordinance includes an emergency provision and will be effective immediately if adopted. An emergency clause requires at least 6 out of 7 affirmative votes. Item 9A, act on subdivision plat, the reserve at Mountain Bridge, the 8600 block of East Upper Canyon Drive, the north side. This is located north and east of Haas and McKellops Roads. Item 9B, act on subdivision plat, Stone-Gated Mountain Bridge, Phase 1, the 2100 block of North Haas Road on the east side, located north and east of Haas and McKellops Roads. Item 9C, act on subdivision plat, Stone-Gated Mountain Bridge, Phase 2, the 2100 block of North Haas Road on the east side, located north and east of Haas and McKellops Roads. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Kevin. Is there any item a council member would like to remove from the consent agenda? Ms. Crocker, do we have any requests from the public to remove an item from the consent
agenda? No requests, Mayor.
Okay. I have a motion from Vice Mayor Summers and a second from Councilmember Glover to approve the consent agenda. Is there any discussion? Please vote. Councilmember Higgins, how do you vote?
I vote aye, Mayor.
Okay. The vote is 7-0 on the consent agenda. 7 ayes, no ayes, no nay, 0 nays, and the consent agenda is approved. Before we move on, there's several now empty seats up here in the front. If those of you who are standing along the sides want to come on up, there's some seats to sit down in. The next item on the agenda is item 10A. This is zoning case Z-12-11-2217 North Power Road, located north of McKellops Road on the east side of Power Road, rezoned from RS-35 to RM-4-Biz in site plan review. This request will allow the development of 153-unit apartment complex. Dennis Barney owner, Dan Kaufman applicant. There's a legal protest on this item, therefore a 3/4 vote will be required. Mr. Kaufman, I'm going to go ahead and explain your project to us.
Okay. All set. Mayor, Council, I'm Dan Kaufman. I'm the developer of Verde Demora, which means green dwelling. Verde Demora is a 153-unit sustainable multifamily transit development, including a sustainable preschool. The demographics are young businessmen and women, college students, local employees, veterans, international students, families, retirees, and tenants desiring a sustainable lifestyle. Key factors in selecting this site on Power Road, it is adjacent to Mesa Community College with approximately 5,000 plus students. It is next to McKellips Road with 51 businesses, Target, Home Depot, Safeway, and many more national chains. There are 1,600 part-time and full-time jobs on McKellips and Power, and over 2,000 on the corner of McDowell and Power. There are two bus routes within the walking distance with easy access to the 202 and the existing infrastructure. All combined creates a perfect, sustainable transit development. With employees and students now able to walk to work and school, this will cut down on the existing traffic that is normally generated by them.
Hey, Mr. Kaufman, if I could, real quickly, you want to go back on that?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. The area to the east is MCC Red Mountain, right?
Yes, sir.
And to the south, it looks like Arizona Agribusiness, and what is that?
Target.
Well, there's a building that's not a residential building to the south, right?
No, that's Arizona Agribusiness Equine Center.
Okay, and then to the north, that Acacia Village, what is that?
That's actually Mesa Community College.
Okay, that's their original location,
yes.
Red Mountain.
And then they're directly behind the property, too.
Okay, and then so residential, you have across Power Road on the west side of Power Road. Those are single family.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay. Where are we at here? Green building offers sensible solutions that improve a development's performance while providing broad-based economic and community benefits. These benefits range from clean air to reduced traffic congestion. What is interesting is SRP has called me and they want to partner with me and advertise the sustainable project as a case study for their other commercial apartment programs. We're very excited about the opportunity. Verde Demora will provide tenants the use of a bike during their lease as an incentive and encourage tenants not to have a car while they're there. Including in the community is a sustainable preschool. Sustainability should begin very early in life. It is in the early childhood period that children develop their basic values, attitudes, skills, behaviors, and habits, which may be long-lasting. We need to recognize and raise awareness about the powerful role of early childhood education in realizing a sustainable society. The idea for the preschool was suggested by many of my visits with MCC, who stated a need for a preschool in the area for parents going to school. The preschool will be a benefit for their students to cross-train and provide internships, which will also allow MCC to offer more early childhood education classes and be the first in the state to have a sustainable early childhood education program. This is a rendering of the elevations, and it is a very aesthetically pleasing building designed to blend with the surrounding area. We have incorporated large shade covers and lots of stone, along with many breaking points in the building and planters on every floor in the open space areas. This is the entrance to the building off Power Road for the preschool and apartment complex. There are several retention sites spread throughout the property designed by my engineer to the City of Mesa's specifications. We are providing a separate social VA room for returning vets enrolling at MCC. MCC encouraged me to add this in the design of the building because they'll have a lot of vets that will be going to school there. We have 108 secure bike storage covered spaces. Zoning requirement is 29. Each floor has a bike storage to encourage more bike use. Recycle rooms are on each floor to encourage more use with easier access. We have large outdoor social patio for activities and socialization pool. We have the sustainable preschool, sustainable curriculum, desert landscaping, electric car charging station. We have also in the rear, we have community garden plots for residents to use and maintain. We have a meditation garden for quieter, relaxing area, sustainable landscaping that use resources wisely and protect our environment. We also have 30 secured storage units that are approximately 6x7, which have access to the units. Paths to the walking trails were designed with easy access to Mesa Community College and the retail. There is a wall that is separated between the charter school, which was at their request to give a separation of their complex. The unique building design of each floor provides more natural light and airflow in the halls and less energy use. By designing the floors with single and double loaded apartments, this creates more open areas and more natural light in the hallways. Outdoor sitting areas are on the second and third floors for more social interaction. Each apartment we are building will provide, we're providing built-in desk, which means less furniture for tenants to be moving in and out. There'll be all the kitchens will have Energy Star related appliances, energy efficient bathrooms like dual flush toilets, water efficient fixtures, CFL lighting fixtures, pot shelves will be designed above each bed for extra storage with cubbies. There'll be low E dual pane windows, low emitting insulation, flooring and paint, low VOC adhesives and sealants. We will also have recycling and waste collection areas in each apartment to encourage more recycling. We will provide an extensive operation and maintenance training manuals for residents. It includes all aspects of the living space, and then we'll have the air conditioning with high efficiency SEER rating. The entryways that will minimize the amount of dirt tracked inside by installing walk-off systems at the entryways of the buildings and units. We will be submetering the water and electric to raise awareness of their uses. The project entry signs are also for educational and constant reminders to the tenants and the traffic on Power Road to think sustainable. The carports will be angled to maximize efficiency of the solar panels. Walking and bicycling are the cheapest and most sustainable forms of transportation, but they are often incompatible with conventional car-based development patterns. Convenience, safety, and aesthetics are key factors in promoting travel by foot and bicycle. Residents of Verde de Mora are well connected to nearby amenities and are more likely to walk or bike to their destinations, thereby reducing their greenhouse gas emissions, increasing walking and biking trips, and saving them money. Building more residential units next to transit supports higher ridership levels, which in turn supports better and more frequent transit service. Bus stop number 532 goes to downtown Phoenix. It's on 17. It goes to 17th Avenue and Jefferson with many stops in between. That's on the corner of McKellips and Power. Bus stop number 184, it picks up at MCC and it goes to ASU Polytech campus at Williamsfield. It is also within two stops of the BRT with easy access to light rail. It is just one stop away from the new park and ride at Power Road in the 202. Mesa Transportation will be adding a future bus stop in front of Verde de Mora. Bus route 535, which is at the new park and ride, will give tenants an alternate route, giving faster access to the downtown Phoenix. The Verde de Mora development is in a superior location on Power Road corridor and has far better access to two bus routes with a connection to light rail. This location with multiple bus routes and local commercial retail employment opportunities along the Power Road corridor and adjacent to MCC offers a live-work community, including a sustainable preschool. Because of the desirability of the location, the employees and students will want to live here because they will not need the use of a car. Developer is requesting a 1.5 parking ratio, which is more than required with the Mesa Zoning Table 1132-3A multiple residence, which is a 1.2 ratio regardless of bedroom count, which is requires located on the BRT. Verde de Mora has far better multiple transit options. This is a picture of Target. I don't know what day it was, but we just went on Google Earth, and it shows next door to Verde de Mora is Target with approximately 736 parking spaces and only 110 of them being used that time. This is a common problem contributing to the urban heat island effect. Our website, the community website, will offer local job listings for residents. It will help promote live-work opportunities. It'll decrease traffic congestion, allowing them to walk to work. Retail people in the area can put job listings on the site, and tenants will be able to use it to find local jobs on McKellips and McDowell. We will be providing the tenants, employees, and preschool employees will engage with a 51-page in-depth training program. It will include energy conservation workshops, water conservation workshops, healthy living workshops, and waste recycling workshops, to list a few examples. Both the tenants and employees will receive a 36-page guide after the training workshops to follow up information on the use of the building and apartments. There will be many signs throughout the building and changed on a regular basis for constant reminders of sustainability. This is also a great educational material for any of the general public or friends visiting. A study done by the City of Mesa by Duncan Associates in May 2007 states that an apartment unit generates fewer calls for public safety, service, and fire emergencies than a single-family home unit. We are also partnering in process of partnering with the Mesa TriStar program for multi-housing properties with the Mesa Police Department for additional safety. There are many numerous articles in the last 2 weeks, New York Times, Arizona Republic, The one in the New York Times stated, General Motors is trying to solve one of the most vexing problems facing the car industry, that many young consumers today just do not care that much about cars. This reinforces the lower parking ratios that the younger generation are driving less. I'm excited to develop such a unique sustainable project to be one of the first sustainable projects of this type to this degree in the Valley, and the location is the key to success. Thank you, Mayor and Council, for supporting my project.
Thank you. Any questions right now for Mr. Kaufman? Hang around. I'm sure we might have one or two. Mr. Wesley, just give us a little bit of a background as to the history on this so everyone understands. This was actually denied by P&Z, but that's before we changed the parking ratio. So you want to...
Yes, Mayor, I'll give you a quick rundown of this project. It is on North Power Road. It's a little over 5-acre site, general plan designation for high-density residential, minimum of 15 dwelling units per acre. The request is to rezone to the RM4 designation with a BIZ overlay. The buildings basically meet all the zoning requirements with just a few exceptions. One is some of the setback requirements. They're a little bit shy of those. And also the main thing is the change to the parking standard. As you mentioned, when this went to the Planning and Zoning Board, as they looked at it, they were pleased with the project with the exception of the reduction in parking. At that time, the applicant was proposing 1.2 parking spaces per unit. The code requires 2.1. Since then, the applicant has modified the site plan slightly by removing 7 dwelling units and adding in 22 parking spaces. This has brought up the parking ratio to almost 1.5 units per acre. They've got one unit per bedroom plus some extra above that. So that at this point, it's for you with consideration with those standards. Are there any questions you have about the request?
Question I have is, Mr. Kaufman in his presentation put one standard for one zoning category at lower. I'm assuming, based on what you're saying, is that doesn't apply to this zoning category that we're considering tonight.
That's correct, Mayor. That's the standard for close proximity to a light rail stop.
Okay. We have two individuals who have asked to speak on this item. First of all, we have Ms. Wendy Matthews. Wendy, if you could, if you want to state your name and address once again for the record, and then you'll have 3 minutes. Okay.
Mayor, council members, I'm Wendy Matthews. I live at 6531 East Holly in Mesa. I am just a few blocks to the west of the proposed site. Myself and some neighbors are opposed to it. In fact, several neighbors are. At the planning and zoning meeting, we discussed it, and we had asked for time to collect some petitions. I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice. And we did that. Out of the 124 homes that we knocked on doors, 89 of those people were homeowners. Out of those 89 homeowners, 87 of them signed the petition opposing this. The two that did not sign, one of them did not sign because she was not buying anything I was selling. I wasn't selling anything. The other one did not sign because he works for the city of Mesa and didn't want his name on a petition. We ask that you take our objection into consideration when you vote on this. Like I said, that's a very high percentage of people opposed to it. There is not adequate parking there. I believe Mr. Kaufman even approached the church that is across Power Road and asked to pave their back lot for additional parking. And from what I understand, and I don't have this knowledge firsthand, he was denied that as from the pastor or minister from that church. The density of our neighborhood is a lot less than that. And I know the general plan called, and that was something that was voted on, I believe, in 2002. However, we are those neighbors. And no one thought when someone's voting on something for 15 units per acre that it would all of a sudden go to almost 27, 26 units per acre. That's almost double of what anybody would even think of. And we were told now, no, that's 15 plus. Okay, so you still wouldn't think it would double the number. Mr. Kaufman also did bring up the number of jobs that are in that small area. and that these people that would live there would have local jobs. Those jobs are all filled. They're always filled. There's so many people looking for work. You're going to put another couple hundred people in the same area, and you're not putting more jobs in that area. As to the preschool, I believe we have 7 preschools in a 3 to 4 mile radius of that proposed site, and they're not a waiting list. You can get your kid enrolled in those preschools. As for vehicles, yes, some people will ride bikes. But if you can afford a car, you're going to own a car, and you're going to need to park your car. So again, I hope you take our views into consideration when you vote on this. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so very much. We also have Mr. Albert, is that Schaff?
Schaff.
Mr. Schaff?
Gentlemen, I'm Albert Schaff, 2452 North Rugby. First off, I'd like to say a lot of the things in the presentation I think are very speculative, that you think that you're going to have a whole lot of young people and they're not going to want to have cars, they're going to want to ride bicycles. I grew up here, most of you grew up here, you know what it's like in the middle of August. You're not going to jump on your 10-speed, run down the Safeway and buy a bunch of groceries. A lot of these things are speculative. If they don't work out that way, we're stuck with a 3-story apartment. Nobody else who lives in the area isn't, but we're the ones stuck with it, so we're concerned about that. Originally, these were meant to be more of a dormitory-type situation with younger people for the school. I understand that. I lived at ASU. I lived in the dorms. It was very loud, very noisy, very rowdy, and I think a lot of that would spill out into our local area. The apartments are going to be right next to a high school. I don't think it's a very good idea that you have the high school with the young, high school age kids, and then you're going to have some college age kids. Enough said about that. These apartments are going to be 3 stories high. There's nothing else in that area that's 3 stories high. You have the Target that's 2 lots down, which is 1 story, but it does have its Target logo. So you're going to have a 3-story building sticking out in that area, which I don't know, aesthetically pleasing is somewhat speculative or, up to one's taste. But I think a lot of us in the neighborhood are not going to find that something that we want to see every day. Power Road is already congested with traffic. We understand, my wife and I did call and talk to the traffic, city traffic. Power Road can take additional traffic. Power Road can take the traffic. However, it is problematic having the ingress and egress off of there because you already have the school, you have the Target, you have the Home Depot. There's a lot of traffic around there already. So now you're going to dump at least another 100 or so vehicles going in and out, making U-turns in the area. So we do think it's a safety hazard. As the lady before spoke, if you went to Dex Online, there's already 7 preschools in the area bounded by Higley Road, Power Road, Brown Road, and McDowell Road. And I think I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schaff. Appreciate it. Mr. Wesley, real quick, where does this apartment complex going to download onto Power? Because it looks like there's no left turns. There's no southbound turns out of this property.
That's correct, Mayor. There is a median at this location. All traffic will have to be right in, right out at this point.
Okay. And since that's not a through street, in order for them to turn around, I'm sorry, I'm looking at a Google map. We don't have it. Is there any way we can put the map up there at all? The site plan. Good. Right there. Go back. There we go. So you got that main entry there. Is that? So there's a single entry there. There's not a double entry.
That's correct, Mayor. It is a two-way entry in and out, but it is the only entry into the property at that point. There's an emergency access point in the northeast corner of the property.
Okay. Oh, I see that fire access up there in the upper right-hand corner. Mr. Kaufman, I applaud you for some creative thinking and trying to create something that's unique. I'm, let's assume that, as the gentleman said, that it is, you know, wishful thinking, that you're going to have a bunch of people who want to park there now because they decide that living with a bicycle isn't the way to go. What are you going to do? Let's say there's overflow parking need, or you run out of parking spots.
Mayor, we are providing for every bedroom one parking spot. We're assuming the same, you know, look at this, that because of the location, the retail there, the use, that people will want to live there. You got the foreign exchange students, you're going to have this Mesa Community College. They don't have a car. The veterans come in there. People living, going to between Mesa Community College and working part-time in that area, that's what they're desiring, so they don't have to have a car. So you're going to have a percentage of people that won't. You also got to consider the vacancy rate that you'll never find, and I know I can look at it the same way too, is there is never 100% vacancy in any apartment project in the Valley. Matter of fact, North Scottsdale, the last study was done, was about 10%. That has to be, to me, I consider that in my development too, that there is going to be a vacancy factor in there, so we will have extra parking there. May I talk about the previous speakers?
Oh, yeah. Go right ahead.
You know, if I guess there's the residents, there's six lanes on Power Road. There's another medium, another road, and then there's houses back in there. I've driven back in there. There's only a few that would be obstructed by a site. So this will not affect any other houses except a few right there on Power, if straight out, because that huge lots over there is Mesa Community College. I met with the transportation department prior to even looking at this project and said, what are you guys were going to require? They said the way it's all designed, all that, they're happy with doing a right turn in and a right turn out. They said that'll be compatible to their standards. So that's from the transportation department of the City of Mesa. I've talked to Mesa Community College many times. They're the ones that suggested bringing a preschool in there. They said they get calls constantly for parents and mothers coming to school there, that there is a big need. And that's basically where I came up from. They're suggesting, saying that they get a big need for babies and stuff in that area, because there's not a lot of preschools just in with that 2-mile radius. I think the closest apartment project is 2.5 miles away, so there's not a lot of multifamily in that. I don't know where the dorms came up. These always have been apartments. We all know that Target, Mesa Community College, you got Home Depot, those are big buildings. They're just not little small buildings, so this is not going to stand out from them.
I guess I'm still, I mean, like I said, that's a lot of density, mm-hmm. and I get what you're getting at, where you're trying to head. I'm just wondering, you're really rolling the dice that your vision will work out, and let's say it doesn't. You're either going to not be able, because you're not going to be able to rent, because the floor plan you showed was very much a college floor plan with 2-bedroom, 2-bath.
And a 1-bedroom.
Yeah, and so you're looking at, the type of you've designed for the type of tenant that you described, but if you run out of parking spots, there's only two things that are going to happen: either people aren't going to rent there, or they're going to try and park somewhere else. Now, as I look around here, the only places they could really go and park are they try to park on the MCC road, which there's no parking on,
correct?
Or they go south and try and park on private property, which is the Equine Center. And I'm assuming that they're not going to be too happy about them parking on private property. So,
I actually, per zoning, I went out and I went to some of the neighboring jurisdictions, Scottsdale, actually, and I went down and have talked to them about their parking ratios. Their actually standard parking ratios in their apartments is 1.5. They actually, that's what their standard is. They have said they don't have any problems with those ratios. So,
okay.
Just to let you know on that.
All right. Any other questions from, Vice Mayor?
Easy question.
Oh.
Now you're taking care of. Thank you. Just to clarify, because it's buried in here, John, What's our parking standard in Mesa?
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, for this type of development, it is 2.1 parking spaces per unit.
Okay, and so the lower levels were for transit-oriented along the light rail?
That's correct.
Okay, and part of the reason for this request is that it's along the bus ride, 184, which is
there,
the new
there's
route.
Actually two bus routes within that walking distance there.
One's an express route.
Correct.
Right. One, so one take... it does morning times, and that goes into downtown Phoenix?
No, it actually, you have the bus route that, well, there's actually three bus routes right now, and I think they're changing one, but you have the one down in the new park and ride, and then you have the one at ASU campus that takes you out to Polytech daily, which actually drops you off at the light rail there on the Superstition Springs Transportation Department.
Right. And what are the headways, John, do you know? Or Mike James around? Probably not, huh?
Excuse me?
What are the headways on the 184?
I'm afraid I don't know.
We don't know? And what are they on the weekend? I mean, because to be a transit-oriented project, you have to have transit. So I'm just curious what the headways are.
Mayor, Vice Mayor, I'm afraid I don't have that information. And while there has been some attempt to consider this as a transit-oriented development, it really doesn't quite meet that real development criteria without transit really right there in a more urban type environment. It certainly has some of the benefits by having bus routes close by and some of the commercial and educational uses close by, but really couldn't go as far as call this transit-oriented development.
And so that would be my concern, is that given the headways, and I thought they were 30 minutes on peak, 1 hour off, and I don't think we have Sunday service on the 184, and then the express routes are only weekdays, and during the morning and the afternoon. So how do people get around at that point? And the question is, the answer really is that this is really a suburban project. So if you could argue that transit is a supplement to someone's car and whether they need two cars versus one, John, just does 1.43, almost 1.5 parking satisfy your concerns that we might have end up in a situation where either we have overflow parking, which what the mayor said, either overflow parking, which bleeds into commercial properties around, or we end up with a situation where if they can't park it, how are you going to rent it? And then another one of the mayor's points I think maybe you haven't quite touched on is what other opportunities do you have if you run out of parking to partner with somebody nearby, agreement or tentative agreement or handshake deal where you'd be able to utilize some of the parking perhaps to the south in the big box store, which has plenty of parking. If there's some kind of an agreement that could be reached with them that in the event that you're running a parking that they would provide spaces.
Mayor,
there's a lot to put your head around on that one. It's just some concerns.
I think some of those were maybe to staff and some to the applicant. This has been staff's biggest concern with this project all the way through. We were getting fairly comfortable, though, at this particular level of parking, given the overall development pattern around there and the applicant's commitment to the way he would rent the properties and would come largely an issue for him and how he would market the property to people who typically don't drive as much or have as many cars, meeting that minimum requirement of one space per bedroom as he would rent it, again, got us to a somewhat of a comfort level, but it is a...
Yeah, I'm on a bit of a tipping point here, either way, but the marketing is great. First of all, there's a lot to like about your project. I'm sorry I should have said that first because I don't want you to think I'm just hitting you over the head, even though I enjoy doing that. The question really has to do with sustainability of that. You have all the intention, I'm absolutely sure, of doing everything you said on here, the green living, the handouts, teach people about green living, how they can remain sustainable, the efforts to talk to people and teach them how they can get out of their cars and use mass transit. How do we sustain that over a period of time, 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road, if you're no longer the owner? How do we ensure that that's sustainable so that this doesn't become a problem in the future? Okay.
Is that a rhetorical question?
It wasn't
or a comment? Okay. I guess my question isn't whether you're underparked. It's sort of whether you're over-united. You know, 15 plus is the general plan. Is there a ceiling on that, John?
Mayor, Council, 30 units per acre in this type of location is what we look at as really being the max, and he's a little.
So we're just
that.
under that. Because we're in my calculation.
26 to 27.
Now, what was the final unit count once we removed
153,
those?
153, Mayor.
I'm sorry, 153.
153 with the modified site plan.
153?
Yes.
So we're just under. We're right at 29 units, a little over 29 units an acre. Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Kaufman? Yeah, Councilman Richens.
I do like this project. I think it's got all the right elements in entirely the wrong location. All of the speech I heard Councilmember Summers give, I think could be summed up like that. I mean, there's no nightlife nearby. They're going to have to drive to that. There's no, you know, there's limited job resources. They're going to have to drive to that. Or, you know, I don't know, maybe they will take the bus. But I'm going to support your project. It's worth the risk to take, but I don't know that you've completely sold me on your use of the word sustainability on this one. I think you put together a lot of the good elements, but I don't think this location is all that entirely sustainable. But I do think it is innovative enough to give it a try at these parking ratios. I don't think it's going to have the same effect as, you know, spilling over in the neighborhoods. I mean, I live in Northwest Mesa. We have apartments by high schools. We have all kinds of mixed together, and I'm not concerned about those mixes of uses. We have apartments right across the street from Westwood High School, across the street from single-family homes. Everybody mixes just fine. It's not a big deal there. But, you know, being as far out on the edge of town as this is, that's what I struggle with, is this use of the word sustainability when we're far outside of an urban core. There's no other services besides some limited retail jobs and educational experience. So it's worth the risk, though, I think, to give it a shot.
Thank you. Thank you.
Councilmember Summers, or Vice Mayor, sorry.
Thanks, Mayor. Dave, that's a good opportunity for a conversation. I guess the question is, on the risk, the city's going to bear some of that risk on the parking issue, and what happens if that fails? I mean, to some extent, that's not our problem, because that's his problem. He's going to have to figure out where it goes. But it could become our problem if we end up with parking that bleeds out, if we have partially empty apartment complexes, if his rental rates have to be far below the market in order to fill it.
That's not my problem. I mean, that's a problem for the market to shake out. But do the math. What's the number of parking spaces between the 1.5 ratio that he has now and the 2.1 that's our standard? 14?
That's a good
15
question.
Spaces?
That's a good question.
Yeah, my math skills aren't quite that fast. I can calculate that for you pretty quick.
Well, but I am providing one.
My guess
one
is
parking
it's
per
not very much.
Each bedroom.
And I mean, your net spillover effect is pretty limited. It's, you know, if you do have a spillover effect, it will be fairly limited.
Yeah. Is there
how many parking spots?
You would need 320.
What's that?
He would need
330,
and he's got 230, so he'd need another 90 spaces.
90. So it's 90 spaces. Okay. That's a little bit bigger. But, you know, I don't think people are going to park in a single-family residence across Power Road. How many lanes is Power Road now?
Six.
Six? I'm not seeing the spillover going there.
A lot of this decision was based off of Scottsdale's, where they have not had any problem with parking at a 1.5.
I think we overpark everything.
Yeah,
but
you may be right,
but again, it's your money, it's your risk. You know, that's the thing. This is responding to a market, and there's a market for students there. You know, like I said, you know, the use of the word sustainability is I call into question. But if he wants to do this kind of project out here on his property, and he takes the investment risk, let's do that. If we have a problem, let's solve it when there's a problem. And I think there's opportunities out there to solve this problem, but again.
You
have to cross
yeah.
that when you get to it.
Vice Mayor?
I thought I was still on because I had the RTS.
I pulled up, just for consideration for council, I pulled up the Route 184 map. Weekday schedule, 30-minute service runs approximately 4:30 a.m. northbound and 4:40 a.m. southbound. So it's 30-minute service off-peak and 15-minute peak service. So that's on the weekdays. And the weekend schedule says hourly service from approximately 5:15 a.m. to 8:45 p.m. So that's that is the current level of service on the 184 out in front. That's just for information.
What's the breakdown between one-bedroom and two-bedroom units?
One-bedroom, two-bedroom?
Two-bedroom.
80 one-bedroom and two...
73 two-bedroom.
Okay. I tend to agree with Councilmember Richens that really it's your nickel.
Thank you.
Now, I don't want to oversimplify because there are certainly effects to the neighbors in the neighborhood we have to consider. I don't think that the overflow is an option here because you have MCC and they're not going to let you park, and you have private property, they're not going to let you park. And so you're going to, and that's one reason why I supported this in study, was that I didn't believe that the risk of overflow on your parking to adjoining neighbors was significant. This is going to be a high density place, and I think from the street, the visual of 153 units or 140 units or 130 units is virtually the same. So that's what the general plan is for, and being next to a community college, it seems reasonable that there would be multi-family housing next to it. I'm not concerned about the number of cars that flow onto Power, because Power is a major arterial and cars are going to go on there, and nobody, everyone uses traffic, but I am concerned with the right in, right out, simply because if people are using their cars and they're coming down the 202 and exiting on Power, they've got to come down Power and then flip a U right there and come back. But that's a pretty deep left turn right there, right across the street from it. Like Councilman Ritten said, it's your money.
I did talk to transportation on that turnarounds. They said they would monitor that too. If there's any U-turns, if we got to a problem, they'd monitor and take care of it.
Well, the problem we have is that once you build it and those problems start, you're fixed. You're set.
Right. I understand.
And there's no turning back at that time. No pun intended. And that's what I'm. That would be what I'm concerned about. But
okay. Thank you.
Okay, Councilmember Higgins.
Yes, thanks, Mayor. I've got just a couple points. I rather like the project. I think Mr. Kaufman's worked really well with the community college and with the surrounding businesses. It is in keeping with the general plan. There is not enough multifamily housing in Northeast Mesa. The high school just to the south, if we were worried about the high school, those kids actually, as part of their curriculum, take their courses at Mesa Community College, so they're already at the college. The access to the 202 makes it a really great spot for anybody who's going south or north on the 202, because you go south to get to McKellips, or go north to get on the 202 at Power. And what else? Councilmember Richard's comment about nightlife. The only nightlife in Northeast Mesa either is a half mile north at Power McDowell or a half mile south at McKellips and Power. Unfortunately for us in Northeast Mesa, those are the only nightlife spots. So those are both walkable for someone young living at those apartment complexes. I really like Mr. Kaufman's just the training manual, helping younger residents learn how to take care of an apartment. I think it's a great concept. The secure bike storage is a big plus, and the community garden, and just the different look of the multifamily housing project. So I'm in support of Mr. Kaufman's project.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Councilmember Higgins. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. Councilwoman Higgins had this as an agenda on one of our council committees, and we had extensive presentation and discussion about this project as well. And as part of that discussion, I think the elected officials on the committee came to the conclusion that there were many positive attributes to this type of development. It was fairly unique in terms of what a developer is proposing for an apartment complex in terms of the environmental education work that they intend to do, as well as the tenant standards and guidelines that's proposed. I was part of a council long ago, far away, that helped do planning for the site for Mesa Community College at Red Mountain, and proposed this site to be developments just like this. This is what was intended when the city located the place for Red Mountain Community College. We always anticipated that there would be apartment housing for the students there as the college grew. And so I think that's another reason why in the general plan that went to voters subsequently, again, this type of housing was certainly contemplated at that point in time. So I think the parking issue is one that remains an element of risk for Mr. Kaufman. But I think this is a project that can be successful, can be an asset. And so I'm going to continue to be in support of it. Thank you.
Thank you. One other thing that I failed to mention, I'm sorry, Mr. Matthews. Warren Matthews submitted a card in opposition but said he did not wish to speak. Is that still the case, Mr. Matthews? Okay. I can feel for the neighbors and their anytime you have a vacant piece of land like this for a long time and it's been there for, well, ever and ever, that's why it's still vacant. To see something coming in that's quite an intense use is a little scary. However, that area of the city has changed considerably. It's grown. And, I remember when the first commercial went in out there, people were scary, and we've grown into it. This conforms with the general plan. I think you have some very innovative things, and I appreciate their approach. I think the architecture is appealing. I would feel more comfortable if you had fewer units. I think we do overpark, require overpark. I wouldn't say to go all the way to 2 units. I'm a little worried what you're going to do if you run out of parking spots, but since there is no real spillover, I would agree that, and I don't want to be flippant about it, but that is your development
right.
issue, and you may have to deal with that. I hope you're right as far as attracting the kind of tenants and having them, whether they accept or whether through whatever reason they don't park any more than 1.5 cars per unit in there, I think we're all better off. So I appreciate what the neighbors have said. I understand their concern. This is developing out, though, as was planned by the committee that came up with in the process, I should say, of the general plan and was approved by voters. And I think it would be wrong for us to go against that general plan and when the type of product you have here is to me, is reasonable. The approach you have is reasonable. Even if the number may be a little bit out of whack from my views, it's still within the guidelines. So, is there any other questions or comments? Yeah, Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a lot of concern over the transit issue or some of the parking issue, but given the support from the councilwoman of the district and the support of staff, and I did have the opportunity to view the planning and zoning meeting, one of the issues that they had was they would like to have seen the parking ratio come up to 1.5, I think, is the difficulty that they were having.
Correct.
And this gets about as close to it as we could possibly get. I will, and I also agree with Council Member Richens. He and I have had many conversations about Mesa being overparked, and I still agree with that. So though I have some concerns over this, I can support it. So this is either going to be something I'm going to regret in the future because the parking is a problem, or it's going to be potentially, Dave, a model for how we might park this in the future. I just wanted to let you know that I'm concerned, so it's on you to make sure that it works.
Thank you.
And I think the Vice Mayor makes a good point. I think if there is one read that we can look at. I'm confident that no one's going to let you park outside your boundaries.
Correct. We're aware of that.
And so you're gonna live or die with the parking you got. Okay.
Okay.
Looks like everyone's had their say. Councilmember Higgins, you want to make a motion?
Sure, Mayor. I move that we accept the 10A.
Okay.
I already forgot.
We have a motion from Councilmember Higgins, a second from Councilmember Kavanaugh. Please vote. Councilmember Higgins, how do you vote?
I vote aye, Mayor.
Okay.
Better.
The vote is 7-0 in the affirmative, and the motion carries. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is items from citizens present. We have three requests to speak this evening, and the ground rules on the citizens' items for citizens present are we allow citizens to speak on any issue, any subject, but in accordance with state law, we have very, very short strings as to whether we can comment on the items you're presenting. So please understand that we generally cannot respond to them because they're not on the agenda, and therefore we're not allowed to debate or to go back and forth on this. 3 minutes each. The three questions, is there any particular order, Mr. Russell, you want to speak in? You want to go first? Officer Ducey? Jensen Ducey, and then we'll hear from Walter Vance, and then Mr. Ryan Russell. And once again, if for the record you would name and address.
Good evening. My name is Jensen Deuce, and I hope you don't mind if I give my address. I hope you don't mind if I leave that out. I live in Gilbert. I'll say that.
Okay.
My name is Jensen Deuce. I was hired 5 years ago as a Mesa police officer. It was a great moment in my life. I love going to work every day, and I consider it an honor to be a Mesa police officer. About 4 years ago, the city's budget was in a financial crisis. The city had to make some difficult decisions, and big cuts in the budget had to be made. As part of an overall plan to save as many jobs as possible, the decision was made to eliminate the merit increases and cost of living adjustments. As officers, we understood that cuts had to be made, and the quick actions taken by the council and city leadership undoubtedly saved many city jobs, and we're very grateful to the city that new officers have lost their jobs. 4 years later, the freezing of the step raises and cost of living adjustments has had an impact on the lives of all the officers and their families. The freezing of the merit increases has hurt our younger officers and their families the most. Officers who were already at the top of their pay scale when the freezes were enacted have not suffered nearly as much as our younger officers. I know several officers on my squad who have worked for the city for 4 years, but have never had a single merit increase or cost of living adjustment. To make matters worse, as we all know, large increases in the cost of food, gasoline, clothing, health care, and many other goods and services have eaten away ever-increasing larger portions of our static incomes, effectively cutting our pay even more. I know for many younger officers like me, it is a struggle each month just to keep our homes and pay our bills. The good news is it appears there may be some easing on the city's budget. As the council meets in the weeks ahead to make important budget decisions for this year and the years ahead, we simply ask the council to consider the sacrifices that we as officers have made and all city employees have made during this financial downturn. We also ask the council to consider that during the economic downturn, we have continued to provide the highest levels of police service possible, even though we have not received the merit increases that we in good faith expected to receive when we were hired. After 4 years of making the necessary sacrifices, we're asking the council to reinstate the step increases annually without unnecessary delay. The return of the step increases would begin to lift financial and emotional burdens of our officers, increase the morale of the department, and increase the city's ability to continue to attract the most qualified recruits. And as you can see tonight, there are numerous officers and family members in attendance, and if they like to stand, feel free to do so. We're all here tonight united in support of this issue, and we want the city leadership especially to know that we as officers all stand united with them and continuing to provide the highest levels of police service for the citizens of Mesa. So thank you very much for allowing me to speak tonight, and thank you for your consideration on this matter.
Thank you. I appreciate your excitement about this, and I really appreciate all you do. We have a certain protocol here in the chambers, so if you could refrain from applause and things like that, I'd really appreciate it. Walter Vance. Oh, you want to go first, Mr. Ryan? Ryan Russell.
They definitely won't applaud me. Mr. Mayor and Council, I appreciate the opportunity to come up here and speak this evening. As you've seen, we have a large group for us here. I just want to talk a little bit about the sacrifices that our officers made that we've talked a little bit about tonight through the budget cuts and through the pay cuts and through the reductions in forces that we've had to the police department, as well as those step pays that have been frozen for the last 3.5 years. And just talk a little bit about what our officers have done. Arrests are up, crime is down double digit, our public support is phenomenal, as well as the level of service we provide out there is second to none. When we have communities like Queen Creek and the town of Gilbert and the town of Maricopa who come to us knocking on our door for police services or lab services or looking for a new chief of police, that should say to everybody in the East Valley that we're really regional leaders in law enforcement. We're a productive and professional police agency. So what do our officers need? We need continued support from the City Council in the form of a 5% step in July. We also need additional officers. Our staffing is extremely low right now. We lost an 8-year officer this week who decided to pull the plug. And according to the International Association of Chief of Police, every time an officer like that leaves, that's $250,000 investment that walks out the door. So I want you to consider that as we look at our staffing levels in the police department. And I told Brian Jeffries, I'd even point this out, that we have a unique relationship here in the city of Mesa, that your police and firefighters get along phenomenally. It definitely helps us provide those excellent public safety services we do. And once again, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to come up here and speak.
Thank you, Mr. Russell. Now, Walter Vance.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Walter Vance, President of the FOP. Ryan and I talk often on this issue. As you can see, there's FOP members and there's MPA members in here. This is a unity. This is everybody from the police department believes that it's time to, let's make sure we're taking care of our officers. I live in the city of Mesa. I do live out on East Caballero in District 5, or District 6, I believe it is, in Deanna Higgins District. I spoke here 3.5 years ago back in, I believe it was June of 2009, when the merits are going away, and explained the importance of let's keep taking care of our officers and our employees of the city. Back then, I spoke of one of our officers getting shot in the line of duty. Luckily, he's still with us. He's back to work. Again, as I speak, we've had another officer, the next one, get shot in the line of duty just recently, and he will return to work. But these officers, every night when they go to work, they kiss their spouses goodbye, they kiss their family members goodbye, and they don't know if they're going to return home that next day. So I think it's important that we as the city and as the leaders of the city make sure that we take care of our employees, and we're here, and we do everything daily to make sure we're taking care of the city. So I believe that we need to seriously think this year about bringing back those merits, and I echo everything that Jensen Dew said and Ryan Russell said. Thank you.
Thank you. One thing I think I can say is please note that I'm speaking for myself, but I'm sure I'm speaking for the councils. We appreciate not only the things that our police officers, firefighters do, but the environment that all of our city employees, and especially our public safety, have had to operate in these challenging financial times. We are grateful that it appears that maybe we've hit bottom, and hopefully there's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's a process we have. that I think we're just starting with the meetings with the both groups, the firefighter groups and the police group. And I know that over the next few weeks, you probably will have meetings with the city.
Yeah, we need to have those meetings in the next week so that we can bring the council the proposed budget by the middle of May.
Okay. And I know the council, just for your information, has given some initial guidance to city management as they meet with your leadership to discuss things in the future. Our goal has always been to, first of all, we recognize the challenges that you've had. We recognize the great service that you give, and we appreciate that. Also, we recognize that one thing we've wanted to do as financial situation improves, I think the council has been consistent in saying that our employees are the most important asset we have in the city, and certainly that includes police and fire. So we look forward to your meetings with city management, and wish you luck in that, and I'm sure we'll go back and forth, and we'll do the best we can. So thank you very much. Okay. No other business? I have a motion to adjourn from Vice Mayor, a second from Councilmember Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much.